everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our show on this Friday, the 7th of July. One more day, Tom, of this excessive heat, and then maybe the rains will come, and then we can look at the excessive heat waves in the rearview mirror, because this is kind of the mini one. We had the long, week-long one, but this has been, it's been a brutal summer heat-wise.
Yeah, there's an excessive heat warning going until 7 this evening.
Yeah.
We're at 108 now.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my goodness. I think we're going to easily hit 110.
Oh, boy. Yeah, 110, 112.
Maybe 111.
Something. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, the Buckmaster Show, I want to remind everybody that we do a re-airing of our Friday program, and that is Saturday morning at 7 o'clock on KVOI. Shout out to our media friends who support us with a nice link on their websites, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and Mr. David Morales' blog, The Three Sonorans. Friday Focus interview today, Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. With me in studio soon, he'll be walking in the door any minute, Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Mayor, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. I thought maybe you'd be bringing a huge gallon or two of EG's, the watermelon variety, that my friend David Morales kind of started this thing and said David was urging the mayor, please lobby to EG's because of this excessive heat. Introduce the July flavor of the month, the watermelon, early.
Well, so. we did that, and EG's responded, and the community outpouring of gratitude for that.
You had tens of thousands of people saying they loved this move and liked it.
We did, and I will tell you, the EG's folks afterwards brought me a complimentary watermelon EG's, and I'll tell you, in this heat, it is refreshing.
It's very thirst-quenching, I'm sure. I want to start with some economic news, items that might have gone a little bit under the radar screen. One of them is Chamberlain,
yeah.
The garage door opener people. Yeah. They've had a presence in Mexico, but I understand they're bringing some good jobs to Tucson.
Yeah, Chamberlain announced that they are expanding in Tucson. Close to, I believe, 500 jobs, plus a capital improvement of building additional buildings on their current location down in Ward 5. And they are an international company. Their home office is in Chicago, but they do a lot of work in Mexico. So it fits very much into our goals of increasing, expanding light manufacturing, being a logistics center, and working with our friends in Mexico. And of course, these are good paying jobs, so we're very happy to have them here.
So where they're going to have a large facility for this?
Yeah, it's down, and I'm trying to. It's near
generally
Valencia.
What part of
town? Near the airport, okay. Just north of the airport, near Valencia, and I'm going to say Campbell, Kino area.
And these 500 jobs will be coming online pretty soon?
Within the next year. They're breaking ground here in the next few months, and they want to get up and running as soon as possible. So a good indicator for Tucson, but also for that global strategy of partnering with Mexico and doing more light manufacturing.
And while we're on jobs, and Dylan has walked into the studio. Hello, Dylan.
Hey there. Apologies for being just a little bit late.
Well,
I usually time that better. I usually
manage
to time it.
You needed to stop at EG's to pick up some of the watermelon.
I usually manage to time it to walk through the door just as your theme is starting to play.
As the theme is coming up, but you got caught at a red light.
Exactly.
The other day, somebody came in late, and they said it was because of the way we had timed the stoplights, but I'm sure that didn't have anything to do with it.
I can't complain too much because I actually was stuck behind some road repair equipment.
Excellent.
With some road repairs going on over on the west side.
Excellent.
So, you know, temporary pain, long-term fix, I'll take it.
There you go.
There you go.
Dylan, you'll be up in a moment, but I do want to go on with the economic developments. The call center known as C3, and they provide services to a wide range of corporate clients from financial services, travel, hospitality, medical, whatever. there's a certain, some folks like to say, well, it's call center jobs, and that has kind of a stigma with some people.
Yeah.
And these are 2,400 jobs.
Yeah, and I don't know as much about C3. We did some work with them some years ago, but I can tell you I like to speak of the Comcast Center, which is just north of the Tucson Mall. Those are, you know, not your father's call center jobs. Those are bilingual jobs. They are doing technical work, and the average pay is in the $40,000 range. My view of call centers is a little different. You want a diverse economy. You want all kinds of jobs. But a 2,400 additional jobs to our community can often mean first-time jobs for people, people entering the job market, people learning how to work, and then moving on. And for us, and what we've looked at to see in the past when we've courted companies, we're as much concerned about the benefits, particularly healthcare benefits, and assuring that companies are responsible in that way. But everybody finds their level. If those jobs weren't needed in this community, they wouldn't be able to fill the jobs. And I'm pretty sure they know they're going to be able to get 2,400 people more to work. And that's a good thing.
Dylan Smith, you're up to the plate.
It's lucky that Bill's got you on for an extra long segment
here. We do. We're
going to
go about 35 minutes.
But we've got a whole lot of city news going on right now with some things just getting nailed down, like the budget.
Yeah.
And some other things just getting geared up, like something that'll be on the ballot this year that might actually put some more money in your pocket. What's your take on the raises for mayor and council will be put to voters in November?
Yeah, Dylan, it's an interesting thing. Apparently, and I was actually going back and look at the history today, I didn't realize until today when I looked at it, in 1970, the city council people received $200 a month and the mayor received $400 a month.
In 1970
Which doesn't, but it doesn't seem that long ago to me and Bill anyway.
And you guys have not had, mayor and council have not had a raise in almost 20 years.
We haven't had
18 years since there's been any kind of bump in that pay.
But so what happened was in 1993, the voters by initiative created an independent salary review commission. And when they say independent, they mean independent. That commission doesn't come and talk to us. They don't ask our opinions. And every 2 years, when people are running for office, they make a recommendation, and we have to put it on the ballot. We don't have a choice. I'm thinking since 1999, they've put – well, 1999 was the last time there was a passage. Since 1999, I'm going to say they've put it on the ballot seven times, and seven times it's failed. And I think my comments today and those of some of the other council people that I read – are probably about right. None of us are asking for a raise. It's probably a strange way to do business. When you look at other cities and comparable pay, and if you're trying to attract people, is a raise in order? I think we'll let the citizens decide that.
And for context, how much is your salary and how much is the salary for council members?
I'm paid $42,000 a year and the council people are paid $24,000.
So we're supposed to get people who are the stewards of a budget that is $1 billion.
$1.4 billion.
So way over $1 billion to work essentially full time for $24,000 a year.
Yeah, and I can tell you my job, and you can do the job however you want, because my renewal of my contract only comes once every 4 years.
Yeah.
But to do the job right, it's a full-time job. And really the council offices are too. And there may have been a time when they're not, but they really are. And yeah, it is difficult. And so, for instance, and I can just speak to the folks that are there now, you know, Councilmember Kozacik works a full-time job. The guy is constantly working.
Works
full-time
for the council and full-time for the university.
Yep.
Cunningham has a full-time job.
Yeah, Romero now has a full-time job. Councilmember Ulick. Both Councilmember Fimbres and Councilmember Scott are recently retired, but it really does limit who would be attracted to that job.
My take is that, you know, either you have somebody who is retired, has a somewhat of means, as you do.
Yeah.
Or they need to go work another job and try and juggle all of those. Or, you know, who else can you attract?
Well, and I can tell you this too, Dylan. I get lots of suggestions every day from people. We have lots of citizens groups out doing things, and everybody is well-intentioned. But to understand the context, both the financial constraints and the legal constraints of what it takes to manage a city, and mm-hmm. then putting that on top of what the suggestions may be, it's not part-time work. It really is complicated, and I think everybody tries to do their best. I think one of the advantages of the council we have now, and you can think what you want of any individual council person, I'm sure people do, but and me as well. But I'm right now the junior person there with 6 years experience, and that experience makes a world of difference. And you don't buy that, and that's why it's a good question to put to the voters. We'll see what they do.
The counter argument is that you guys have a city manager who's paid well, who has experience, is supposed to know what he or she is doing. Right now, you have staffers in your offices, you have city staff that are all supposed to provide you with this information, and you're just supposed to set the policies. And inevitably, you get much deeper into the details than broad strokes of policy, though, right?
Yeah, no, and that's right. And you know, and I like to compare. You know, the county government to the city government.
And what does a supervisor get paid?
I think they're at 68, 72 in that range.
Yeah, yeah, that, you know, they get paid 3-4 times as much.
Let's see if we can quickly take Tom, who's been waiting a long time. Tom has a question about taxes. Is there a tax on medicine? Is that your question, Tom? Hello, Tom.
Yeah.
I think we lost
Tom. He says we're gone, but I'll answer the question.
Wait a minute. There he is. Tom?
Will the sales tax be spent on Medicare and medicine?
I think, as best I can understand the question, we will not be taxing medicine. That's exempt from our sales tax.
The sales tax that just went into effect?
Yes.
The increase?
Yeah. No, we don't tax food. We don't tax residential rental. We don't tax medical. The money will be spent on police and fire equipment, capital equipment, and roads.
All right, we'll take our break right here, 12:17, with the mayor of Tucson, Mayor Rothschild. Dylan Smith sticks around as well. We'll take our break, and then we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Friday edition.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. Also, our monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. Buckmaster airing noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI with our worldwide live listening, the podcast, and a 6.5 year archive of shows at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. A little bit expanded. We'll be going a little longer with the mayor. There's so much to talk about with Mayor Rothschild, and Dylan Smith is with me from TucsonSentinel.com. I want to talk about the bus driver talks. They'll be meeting tomorrow to vote on a new contract.
Yeah, that's my understanding, Bill. And, you know, it's, a convoluted system where as electeds in the city we don't really get to enter into the negotiations.
You got to be hands off, right? On the
we have to be hands off, but we have a budget which we passed, and that budget gets handed to the management company, and the management company goes and then deals with the union. My understanding is that the conversations have been good ones, that the union is going to vote tomorrow. They've, called a meeting for tomorrow, and we're hopeful that they will accept the contract. My understanding also is that what the conversations have really involved is how to allocate amongst the workers the pot of money that is there. And I hope so, because nobody wins whenever there's a strike. The people who use the system don't win. And quite frankly, the employees or the people who work for SunTrend don't win either. That money is never recovered, and I'm assuming that everyone understands that our money is not particularly elastic, and that our budget is in place. And I've in the past when these issues have come up, I've heard a lot more, and it's been relatively quiet, so I'm hopeful that they'll resolve and we'll see no interruption service.
Moving beyond the possibility, and thankfully seems like a shrinking possibility at this point, of a bus strike, the company that has been running SunTran, TransDev, for a number of years now, wants out. The city had to convince them to stick around for a while to get through this negotiating process. But right now, as I understand it, that contract, the extension of it, ends at the end of August. Yeah. and the city isn't really prepared to issue an RFP for a new management company at this point, what's going to even bridge the gap between that? And then what is the sort of idea for the future? Just to issue another RFP that was similar to the past to get another management company? What are we going to do?
Well, good question, Dylan. My understanding is that management has been speaking with some other management companies to bring an interim company. And one of the things that people don't understand about that relationship is this management company didn't make very much money on this contract and was very, very skinny.
And they've been complaining about it.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, interestingly, with, you know, blatant sock puppets in online comments complaining about their profit margin.
Yeah, well, they're probably right about that. And so, you know, there's not a great deal of incentive for a management company, at least in our community.
But it's a guaranteed profit.
It is a guaranteed profit. But I think the path going forward is that we will have an interim management company, and my managers assured me that that will be in place by the end of August. Then an RFP will go out. In that meantime, what we want to do is look at what other models look like. And in fact, we're going to spend some time, the manager and I are going to spend some time in Phoenix looking at there's multiple systems in Phoenix, which may be part of why it works a little better. But we're going to go look at those models, see what they do different, see if we can incorporate any of that in, because by federal law, we're required to have an independent management company. These folks can't be employees of the city because of the strike rights.
Yeah, the city charter doesn't allow for strike rights.
Right.
So there's a conflict there.
Yeah, and that's the same across the country now, and that's why this is a federal mandate. So, but there are plenty of companies out there that manage, and we'll be talking to them. I'm confident we'll get a company in. And if we can do some work or learn some things that make it a more attractive system, then good for everybody. But that's one of the things that's going to be on our plate over the next 6 months for sure.
One of the ideas that's been floated over the past couple of years, even before we were to this point, even during the bus strike a couple of years ago, was having the RTA or an organization like the RTA take over the management of SunTran and the streetcar and the other, you know, transportation systems.
I think that's a good idea. And the reason I think it's a good idea is, you know, route service is not that different from water or other services that cross lines, political lines. And when you go to that bigger base, you have a bigger tax base to draw from too, so you can draw more money into the system. One of the issues to date, and probably one of the real issues to date, has been this idea of, and you know, with the RTA, it's one jurisdiction, one vote. So yeah. Tucson gets a vote, South
and
Tucson gets
right
a vote.
Right now, could the RTA even do that? Does it fall within their legal mandate at the moment, or would that have to be changed by the legislature?
We would likely have to go to the legislature to get that changed, but I don't anticipate that as being a difficult change, and I don't see the RTA going there until there's some willingness on part of all the jurisdictions to come up with a structure. And it could be a little bit different than the remainder of the RTA, but that's been the issue. And because one of the alternatives also that's being looked at, and actually at the next council meeting on the 5th, I think there's going to be discussions, you know, the Jarrett Walker report. Mm-hmm. And what Walker is essentially saying is you make your system consistent with what your density is, and that could potentially contract the system, at least initially, but it would be hitting where most of the riders are. I don't know that that's the best answer because, you know, we are beginning to see so many more riders coming in from Marana, coming in from Oro Valley, coming in from the east side in particular. Yeah. So that, I think, in the long run is the answer, getting to the answer politically. And that's, by the
and
way,
that's not something that's going to happen like at the end of August.
Oh, no. We're definitely, step one is to get a proper management structure in place. Yeah.
What about the homeless program that your colleague on the council, Councilman Fimbrace, has really, he's taken it upon himself to make this thing happen, this Tucson homeless work program. So the numbers have been really impressive since this got underway early December of last year.
Yeah. You know, homelessness, of course, is an issue that all cities look at. I think if you go to places like Salt Lake or Portland or San Francisco, you see some real problems. Because of the nature of who we are in Tucson, even though it's sometimes people don't see it that way, we've done a really good job. Quite frankly, the city and the county, through the federal resources, house over 10,000 families through subsidized housing in this community. One of the real concerns now is looking at the administration's budget, which would cut that in half. And we're starting with contingency plans if that were to happen.
Section 8 and
yeah,
similar programs.
The kind of money, the kind of people that would then be put on the street. And you're talking now here, you know, low-income families, working families. But the real issue then becomes after you put, and we've got a great nonprofit community, Old Pueblo, Primavera, Red Cross, and I could go on and on, the groups that help. What, after you've done a really good job, you get left with the hardest cases. And the hardest cases are people who are actively mentally ill, have active substance abuse problems, or maybe not even that, or just people who they don't want to go in for whatever reason. And so that's really what Councilmember Fimbres' program addresses, and he's done a nice job with it. It's all private donations from folks around the community, and basically it's a simple program where there's places where a donated van stops, gets people, takes them to work, at the end of the day takes them to get screened for social services. And I think you have the numbers in front of you.
Yeah, it's 166 people have participated in the program. 101 locations have been cleaned up. This is pretty impressive. More than 37,000 pounds of trash and waste has been cleared. That's good.
And this was as of 2 weeks ago. 17 people that have walked through the program are now in housing.
That's good.
And that's the real victory. You know, we've done obviously a lot with veterans, people that were homeless, over 2,000 housed. But there we had technical support from the federal government. This is really grassroots, taking very little, all private, in making people
and essentially productive. Sort of easing people into where they can get more and more help rather than just requiring them to go cold turkey, go into a shelter. You know, there are plenty of people who are, as you said, even if they're not mentally ill or actively abusing drugs, are kind of independent minded, ornery.
And you got to do that, because what the federal government, you know, and all those 10,000 people, what they don't provide is what's called low demand housing. And it makes sense from a macro level, because they're looking to get the most people affected for the least amount of money. Well, low demand housing, you're only going to be able to affect a few people, and it costs a lot more money. And so that's what we're lacking in this community, is that low demand housing. And these kind of programs try to address those.
Let's go to the live line, see if we can work in one more call before we wrap it up with the mayor. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I was listening to your discussion about the bus system. It seems like we're looking out for the unions, of course, and looking out for the management company, but no one's looking out for the taxpayers and the amount of money that has to be paid from the general fund to the bus system every year. How about we do something about raising the revenues, like looking at bus fares, so that the taxpayers don't have to come up with as much from the general fund every year?
Yeah, okay. Now, good question. We did that last year for the first time in a long time. We did raise the fares, and we did it in such a way that there's going to be gradual increases in the fares, I believe, for the next 5 years. So that's a good thing, and I think there was a lot of call in the community for just what you've expressed. The fact of the matter is, and it's very interesting, that our fare box collection in Tucson is actually, on a percentage basis, higher than in most communities. I think we collect, for what we need for the whole system, somewhere between 20 and 25%, which doesn't seem like much, but it's more than what most communities do. And in other communities, the remainder is funded through a general fund. Now, many communities have a dedicated funding source for transit, Phoenix has that, Mesa has that, Gilbert has that, where the taxpayers have actually voted to take a certain percentage of monies and devote it to a transit system. We haven't done that here. We've always taken it from the general fund. And some of the people don't necessarily always understand, if we were not to charge for buses at all for fares, it's, I think the revenue is about $11 or $13 million a year. The whole system costs about $50 million a year. And there's some discussion that you're better off doing that, increasing ridership.
Get more people to ride it, get more cars off the road.
Yep, but, you know. So it's an interesting conversation, but you're correct. It was time for a fare increase, and we did that.
Dylan, real quickly, please.
I'm going to try and squeeze this one in here. And one more thing that's going to be on the ballot in November that I'd like your quick take on, Mr. Mayor, is the sales tax to fund early childhood education, essentially to subsidize kids who aren't in kindergarten yet going to preschools.
Yeah, Dylan, if it wasn't the last question of this session, I'd spend a lot more time with you because it's one that's going to require a lot of conversation. I can tell you, just as a preview, this was not a city council initiative. This is an interest initiative. There's all sorts of issues that arise out of that. I think there's going to be a robust conversation in the community over the next 3 or 4 months over it.
So you're not ready to declare your stance on that?
I am ready to give you all sorts of questions the voters are going to have to ask themselves. Do they want to, there's also a zoo tax, do we want a 3.1 cent sales tax in the city of Tucson? Do we want the city of Tucson administering pre-K? And this, you're talking $50 million a year. Want to look really hard at who's going to be served and who's not going to be served.
Because it won't hit everybody, right?
Very few. The proponents are saying that potentially up to 8,000 people, and you have to live in the city, and you have to be in a qualified school.
But there are some 14, 15,000 kids who are in that range in the city limits.
At least.
Okay, we are out of time with the mayor, but since I'm the host, I can ask a final
question. Absolutely, you can push this
about
here.
The roads, the road plan. Give us an update on how we're doing now with the sales tax has passed. How are we doing with the roads, real quickly?
So 409 has 1 year to go. That was the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. We'll work that for the next year. We started collections on the new sales tax July 1. Probably come October, November, there'll be enough money collected to also go start doing the police and firework. And then we'll, over the course of this year, we will be deciding the residential roads, because now we're going to have a whole lot of more residential roads we can do. And so to all of us, it's going to look very seamless, and you're going to roll right from 409 into 101 and see hopefully 5-6 more years of new paved roads.
Okay. Mayor, thank you very much. Mayor Rothschild with us on the Buckmaster Show. Hope you have what's left. Well, I kind of think it's like a long weekend, one long 4th of July weekend. I was going to say, have a great weekend. Thanks.
All right, you too, Bill.
Okay,
you too,
Dylan. Stick around. Have a couple of quick questions for you.
Absolutely.
But right now, let's hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors. We'll be back in a moment. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. We had a little longer edition with the mayor today because, we had a lot to talk about.
Because he's the mayor.
Yeah, he's the mayor, and we had a ton of things to talk about.
Still questions we didn't get to ask him.
Exactly.
Get him back in here. Go for him.
No, we really... We did run out of time, but because I did want to carve out a little bit of the program with you, Dylan. You had a very comprehensive, by the way, if you don't know, folks, this is Dylan Smith. He's the editor and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. And kudos to you, Dylan. You really kind of dug deep into this, a deep dive into this business around the Arizona Secretary of State and Michelle Reagan, shifting course, in effect, over the voter rolls and turning over what we know in Arizona from the voters to this commission that President Trump is pushing.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting object lesson, although I don't know that anybody's learned anything from it yet, but I hope they will. An example of political considerations running directly headlong into the principles by which we run our government. And, Trump and Kris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State, who is a big proponent of voter ID and what a whole lot of people call voter suppression efforts, limiting the ability of people to vote, have this commission that they are, quite obviously trying to use to bolster Trump's claim that millions of people illegally voted last year. We all know that's not true. But a lot of people are up in arms over their request for the voter rolls from all the states. And
they're worried that, confidential information is going to be turned over to the federal government.
And, especially in Arizona, this is all public information that was asked for. The voter rolls in Arizona are public. Anybody can walk in and look at them. Anybody can ask for the entire public data set. And because of a lawsuit that was just settled by Michelle Reagan for the state, And a change voted through by the legislature this year as well that is a whole lot cheaper than it used to be. You can go buy the entire voter roll for about $500 now. It used to be, you know, tens, $100,000
so
to get the whole
thing.
So
why were folks so concerned?
You know, they sort
if
of...
this information was already available.
It was an overreaction. Okay. A lot of people don't understand that this is public information.
But
as I sort of started saying earlier, the reason we know that there were not millions of illegal voters is because this is public information, and it has been independently investigated time and again, over and over again, and there is quite simply no data to back up that assertion.
I think if
Trump wants this information, I personally can't see any legal reason to say no. It's
okay.
Public.
And Carl has a question about illegal voting. He's on the live line. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes. Okay. You're saying that, you know, you disagree with saying that millions of illegals voted. It may not have been millions, but there were certainly a number that had voted illegally. And part of the, I mean, you go back and you take a look at Chicago or you take a look at California. May not have necessarily been illegals per se, but there were an awful lot of dead people that voted. I know they voted down in Johnson City, Texas, and Chicago and New York. So what is the problem, why do you have an objection, or do you have an objection, to going through and cleaning and making sure that the voter rolls are cleaned up and valid? Perhaps what we need to do is that before every federal election, every 4 years, we require everyone to re-register. And do that down at the courthouse or something of that nature.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and get off the line and take your answer on the air.
Thank you, Carl.
Well, do I have a problem with the voter rolls being cleaned up? Personally, no. That's something that is already done. There's already a very stringent process that is done, you know, here in Pima County and every other county in Arizona, all over the country, where people are, you know, if you don't vote in a couple of elections, you're placed on inactive status, and then eventually you are no longer a registered voter. Yeah, there are people who are dead on the voter rolls. Because they have recently died, and before they croaked, they didn't tell the recorder that they were dying. That doesn't mean that they went and cast ballots. There's a huge difference between being on the list and showing up at the polling place and casting a ballot. And there's quite simply no evidence anywhere of widespread voter fraud. It's been looked at over and over and over again. So, you know, if they want to look at it one more time, I say... You know, my take, and I wrote one of my rare editorials about this. Sure, let them have at it. And because this data is also available for everyone else to look at, we'll be able to see just how dubious those claims are. But, I think there are states where this isn't quite as public as it is in Arizona. And I think that's a mistake. There's a reason that it is public. It helps, create some scrutiny around this so that we know with a surety, we're not just letting officials tell us, but we're able to go look that the voter rolls are an accurate representation, that we don't have discrimination. We can check that people aren't being gerrymandered because we know where they are, who they are, who's registered.
How do the Freedom of Information experts feel about withholding the data, Dylan?
Well, one of the most prominent attorneys in the country, actually, here in Arizona, Dan Barr, had some language that I can't quite say on the radio, although if you go to TucsonSentinel.com in our reports on this.
Oh, thank you for not using it, because I'm looking at the quote right now, and I'm so glad you didn't say it.
You can learn exactly what his opinion both of the request by Trump and the refusal by Michelle Reagan, who's an elected Republican, actually, to turn this over. Can I abbreviate that, Tom? Is that acceptable on the air?
Yeah, let's just forget.
He's furrowing his brow at this one. Even.
So what are you going to do? You're going to do like the first letter and several asterisks?
Or just the first letter and a period?
Can I go with that?
Probably.
All right. Dan Barr said this is BS answering BS.
Okay, we can accept
that. That's okay.
That is.
All right. We can accept
that's acceptable. So,
He actually said it.
So anyway, Dylan, so people shouldn't really worry. This was information that was already out there. Is that kind
one of
the
reasons
line?
People freaked out for not quite understanding the process by which journalists and other people routinely ask for public records? You ask for a whole bunch of stuff, and then you qualify it by saying, I want all of this. Please give me what you can actually give me under the law. And in the request, it asks for, you know, Social Security number, driver's license, this and that, all the stuff that they're not going to get. Chris Kobach won't even, because he's the Kansas Secretary of State, he's in charge of that data, he won't even turn over that data to his own commission in response to the letter that he sent himself.
Yeah, people...
That was kind of a ridiculous stunt, and if you think about it for a second, you know, it was probably designed to make people angry about this and get some attention.
Okay.
And what we're going to hear... with all of these states saying a blanket no, even here in Arizona, despite our public records laws that it is public and anybody should be able to ask for it, that we said no, they're just going to claim that there's a cover-up and that we can't even tell how many illegal people voted because no one will give us the data.
And a real quick question, because then I'm going to wrap it up with you, Dylan Smith. As public requests and this public information, public records requests, is it easier to get it in Arizona than most states?
Well, this data in particular, voting rolls, is somewhat easier to obtain in Arizona. The political parties get it for free. They get free constant updates of this info. They get it automatically shipped to them.
Wow.
But there are some states where it's quite a bit more restricted. Personally, I think that's a mistake. Arizona does, in general, have at least the basis of our public records laws are pretty sound and solid. The enforcement and officials, the willingness to comply is sometimes quite questionable.
Thank you very much, Dylan
Absolutely.
Smith. TucsonSentinel.com. You can look at Dylan's work. Does a great job with what he does at TucsonSentinel.com. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show with Weekend Watch. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
All right, weekend watch time. I love it when I hear that theme music because it means the weekend is here. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great weekend getaway or longer. Stay a few extra days. It's just 3 hours from Tucson. Here's the good news this time of year, 15 degrees cooler because of that great elevation, mile high and above in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org, has the fine listing of the many great places to stay and the many things to do. On the road right now, the host of Weekend Watch, passing through probably one of the places you don't want to be in July, Phoenix, Arizona, Mr. Matt Russell.
Yes, greetings from the surface of the sun, Bill Buckmaster. You know, they say you have to get through a lot of pain before you get to pleasure. We're on our way to Flagstaff, but yes, Phoenix is something that we have no control over, but we'll be through the Valley of the Sun as quickly as humanly possible.
Matt Russell, our Weekend Watch host, and of course, Matt writes the food and beverage column for Inside Tucson Business, award-winning Tucson publicist. What's this I'm hearing about the hub downtown?
Yeah, you know, after several years of serving their downtown guests, both Hub Restaurant as well as their sister restaurant, Playground, they've tentatively closed for some needed renovations. But don't fret if you're a fan of their menus like I am. Both restaurants are going to be popping up, so to speak, at the Martin Drug Company on the same block. Now, they're going to be operating from Martin. Hub is going to be offering a limited menu of their famous dishes, and all Playground events, such as their renowned brunch, is going to continue from Martin Drug Company as well. We'll expect Hub to resume its operations at its former location in about mid-August, Bill, and Playground is going to return home around Thanksgiving. But for now, you can enjoy both at the Martin Drug Company starting this weekend.
Hey, we had a great Indian food restaurant meal at the Twisted Tandoor, one of our fine sponsors. I wrote about it on Facebook, had a review of it. Folks love going over already to Twisted Tandoor.
For sure, and I heard about this restaurant first on the Buckmaster Show. Breaking news, and the day has finally arrived at the corner of Camp Lowell and Swan. As you said, the Twisted Tandoor is officially open. Brought to us by the team, of course, behind Vero Amore and Noble Hops and Sazerac Creole Kitchen. This is kind of an ode to India, creatively manifest at the center of the plate with modern expressions of traditional Indian cuisine. Now, personally, I'm a sucker for tikka masala. The hotter, the better, of course. So I'll be preparing my palate for the fire that awaits me this weekend at Twisted Tandoor.
I love the coconut curry. It was so good. But I did have a little taste of several of the other curries, all very good and all very different, which you want when you go to an Indian food restaurant. What's going on with there's always such competition for who's that best chef in town?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the Iron Chef Tucson battle was just a couple of weeks ago, and the secret ingredient was peaches. And when that was revealed, Chef Travis Peters of the parish rejoiced because, Bill, it's one of his favorite foods to work with. And now, with victory under his belt, he's created some new dishes at the restaurant that showcase his passion for the peach over at the parish. Now, one that caught my eye is the pork cheeks brined in Dr. Pepper with a sea salt cured egg yolk, bacon, and roasted peach. There's more where that came from, so get a little peachy at the parish this weekend.
What's in the Inside Tucson Business column?
Well, you know, speaking of Indian cuisine, there's a traditional spice rub that's used in India that's kind of been likened to a barbecue dry rub from right here in the United States, and its applications are limitless. It's called garam masala, and you can read my take on this super seasoning in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great trip up to Flagstaff. Have a good one.
Thanks so much. You too, Bill.
Is there a model for government that works in compromise between the Dems and the Republicans? Former Texas comptroller candidate Mike Collier joins Charles Heller Sunday. At noon, is there a model for more humane policing? Former officer Darren Spencer comes aboard. A Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free. Sunday, right after the Swap Shop at 10 a.m., The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of all of us here, including Tom Fairbanks, hope you have a great weekend.